to the people, and power to the gang. Power to Port Adelaide, where we get our name. And our modern sons and daughters, and the South Australia.
Welcome to the 1870 Hour, presented by New Vision and the Port Club, coming to you live on Port Adelaide Fan Radio, a fan-driven radio station dedicated to the Port Adelaide Football Club. I'm Al, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil and the Fox, and we're going to continue to discuss 2001.
You started a bit of the intro there, Al.
Yeah, I know. I've got a bit of a problem. I've been seeing a speech pathologist.
You've been saying the same thing every week, and you just stuffed it up.
And I know.
Shows off to a terrible start, thanks to you. Well done.
Thanks very much. You told me that you wanted me to change things up, so I decided to.
No, but you did pretty much what you do every week. You stuffed it up.
That's right. Thanks, boys. So how are we, lads? Are we doing well?
Better this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Yes.
Pretty yes. good. But what was that noise?
That was the fox.
No, it wasn't me. Alistair has this thing for having a kettle on during every game. In that field.
In that, yes, he does. No, it was a reasonable win. It doesn't really mean that much anymore, but it was good to get a win. And Archie, how good was he?
Well, I tell you what, that was the most I've enjoyed a game, I reckon, all year, to be honest with you. It was so awesome. I was lucky enough to get a free ticket to the Before the Bounce thing.
So that locker room thing?
No, just when you get, like, I heard Voss talk and Polek talk and
Koshy. Isn't that what that locker room thing is?
I think in the locker room you go down there, don't you? I don't know. But anyway. And it was importantly free, like three course meal and free alcohol. And I was with Marchie, and mate, I tell you what, we took full toll of that free alcohol, let me tell you. And it was just a wicked atmosphere. I loved it. I had such a good time because, like, the Butch was playing, and everyone, the whole crowd, as you know, Phil, just, you know, wheeled him to get the ball, and to, you know, that goal he kicked was awesome, and the arch was just, mate, that was one of the most enjoyable individual games I've seen this year, I reckon, seeing the arch, like, just have that breakout game.
And it was, wasn't it? What did you get? 25 touch. Oh, it's unreal. He's doing it all the time as well.
Like, that left-hand handball is, I reckon, just about unique to him in the entire competition.
I'd agree. Like, no one else really has that ability that he shows with the handball, like the length of it. There's some guys in the league, Sam Mitchell, etc., that can't even kick 30 metres, let alone actually handball that far. I remember watching Vision of Polly Farmer and his handballs, and he revolutionised the game. And they're similar in how the arch goes about it. So, yeah, no, it's pretty good to see, and I'm really happy to see that he's actually made something of himself, seeing as though he was close to being delisted last season. So
that's what's the most impressive thing is that, like, when I think of Arch, I think he's just an amazing character. Like, you all know my love for Ollie, but Ollie's sort of like, he's just been awesome from day one, whereas Arch has been up against it, and he would have been told by coaches, mate, you need to extract the digit or you're not going to be on an AFL list in a few weeks' time. And to his credit, and to the coaches' credit, because they played him in the right position, started dominating the SA NFL. And then sort of after a while, we thought, man, Archie's starting to rack up some huge numbers. And then, you know, like, he had a few good games, a few cameos, you know, a few goal assists and whatnot when he was a sub. And then just that shocker against the Crows, where he got three touches or whatever it was. But to have that game on the weekend, like, that would say to yourself, I belong at this level, like, best on ground by a mile. And, you know, a dominant display, like, massive bumps, clearances, hangers, three goals. Yeah, you did it all. It was brilliant. I was so happy for him. And what I loved as well is in the press afterwards, it was all about, like, just trying to repay the faith that the club had showed at him. Like, you know, I wanted to do it for Kenny. I just want to play for this great club, he said a few times. And, you know, I love it when I hear that type of stuff. It makes you, you know he's in the right place.
That's sensational. Like what you're saying about Ollie, I guess the difference is you'd be more shocked if Ollie didn't make it. Like, you know, you're a number seven draft pick and you've got such, you know, huge raps going for you. Whereas with Archie, it was he could have just been, oh, I suppose he potentially could still be, depending on how his career goes from here. But, you know, it was about, what was he, mid 40 draft pick. Could have went either way. He was playing reserves last season in the SANFL, wasn't he? At some point,
yeah, I think it was the end of the year before, and he hadn't had a preseason, and he hadn't had a preseason since he's been at the club. So,
yeah, he was top of my list to get delisted that year.
That's because you jump off the players' bandwagons pretty quickly, Fox.
No, name one. There you go. Can't do it. No, mate, I'm still just, I've still got like just a thread of John Butcher still not getting delisted.
No, I don't want him to get delisted.
That was a good, a solid performance, I thought.
I love him. I love him. I was shattered if he got delisted.
I was so gutted when he missed that goal. Like, you saw the look, like what that meant to him on his face when he missed it. Like, it was just a resigned look of, man, you know, I'm gone.
Yeah.
But I reckon he redeemed himself pretty well, and crashing those packs and Wingard roving him beautifully and kicking two goals. Like, you can't tell me Butch doesn't have an influence. He rarely gets outmarked. Like, he always just causes chaos smashing packs. And, you know, man, you'd imagine if he could kick, man. If he could kick. And there's still time for that.
I think the time has passed, in my opinion. Like, I'm a fan of his endeavour. His leads are shit. He leads to the wrong spots. He's just out of position.
Expert, expert armchair opinion watching Fox footy.
Are we all?
At least I go to home games, mate, so I can actually see where he runs. You can't. You just don't see him in the picture and go, oh, he didn't lead to the ball.
Yeah.
Is that a fair comment?
No, not really. You're just an idiot.
Oh. Ouch.
Have a go, mate.
Oh, well. I call it as I see it.
The 10 minutes leading up to this show when we're all talking, it was a bit fiery, wasn't it? None of us seem to be in great moods.
Nah. It's your alcohol problems cause yours.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Whatever.
My 3 hours sleep's
on that night.
And Alistair's just average human being.
So what do you want to happen with Butcher out? Do you want him gone?
No, I think that the potential for him actually going on the rookie list might be potential. So, like, for us as a club, like, we could bring him on the rookie list. And if we have an injury to a key position player, bring him on. But I don't see him as a long-term AFL player. And we've invested a significant amount of time and money into him. And it hasn't come to fruition. So, like, he's so shot as a forward that Kenny and Matt are having him playing in the back lines, where we're pretty stacked as a club. Like, let's be honest, we've got Carlisle, Trengove, Hompsch, Clory, Jonas, etc. back there, and they're putting him in the back lines. So, if that's the case, they think he's pretty much done as well.
Yeah, but then he goes straight back into the AFL in the forward line with a dominant one-goal display.
Dominant one-goal display? What, 3 marks from a key forward?
Nah, he was pretty good, Al.
He brought the ball to ground. Yeah, fantastic. So did Darryl Poole.
What are you bringing the ball pool for now? How because many goals it's the top of average game this year?
I think 2.5.
It's about 2 or thereabouts. Now, I reckon you'd absolutely keep him on the list for another year, unless he wants to try and give it a go somewhere else. So that, I think there's that sort of that chance as well that he's like, oh, you know, if he hasn't developed the way that he would have liked at this point, that he might even seek a trade. But and you'd say there'd still be some sort of value in him. You know, I don't think you'd have to spend a lot of money on him or or give up a massive amount from a trade perspective, but I really, really hope he stays on with Port. I'll be honest. I would be more shattered him going than Butcher go, and then Schiltze going. That's how much I love Butcher, even though I know the output of Schiltze is immensely better than what Butcher's is. I love the Butch.
Fair enough.
I love him. We're having a few awkward silences tonight. I don't feel like we're gelling like we normally do, lads. What's happening?
I'm trying to look on Twitter to see if we've got any tweets, but I can't work it out again.
So you go.
That's right. We'll see.
Is Bevan listening tonight, I wonder?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Bevan. We've got no tweets at this stage. I just had a bit of a look, and there's nothing there.
Have we got a question tonight?
Yeah, who was the leading disposal winner for Port Adelaide in 2001?
I don't know.
So that is the question for a $20 voucher down to the Port Club. You can get the burgers on Tuesday nights. There's always specials down at the club, and get down there, grab yourself a burger, see Dave Banner and the lads and girls. It's pretty nice. I actually had a bit of a thought about the Port Adelaide Football Club and the club down there. I was considering doing some crumb lamb chops, and I just remember that they're probably not going to be anything in comparison to the Port Adelaide club lamb chops, like the Fox describes with such favour.
But didn't you say they don't have it on the menu anymore, Fox?
That's true. Well, last time I went there, they didn't. But I haven't been there for a little while, so I'm not sure. But, you know.
I suppose, it would like, considering we're not traders to South Australia, we could pretty much go whenever we want, couldn't we, Foxy?
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, we could just tee up one night, go down. I mean, we could actually just download the menu right now and see if it's there, I guess. But
do you know what we could do? We could actually do the show from there on our phones and ours in sunny Canberra, living it up.
That's right. Hey, Bevan's just tweeted in, and guess what he said? He goes, Port Fan Radio, if Crazy Big Al keeps talking crap about Paul, we're going to have problems. Now, I'm not a bagger of Daryl Paul. I love Paulie. He's like, I wear number 30 on the back of my Guernseys because of Daryl Paul. He is one of my all-time favourite Port Adelaide people. But
why'd you bag him then?
No, I just said, like, Daryl Paul had some...
He had some weaknesses, but one.
He had some weaknesses, but what he could do is bring the ball to ground. Yes, and a ponytail.
Alistair, I'll vouch that you've always been a big fan of Daryl the Ball Paul. I remember you talking about him when I first met you.
I love Daryl Paul. Like he is one of my favourite Port Adelaide people. So Bevan, rest easy, my friend. I was just making a reference to. That Daryl Paul had weaknesses at the AFL level, and that was 20 years ago.
It's all good, Bevan. We don't want to upset our only listener.
That's right. But, it's all fun and games. But, like Butch, I just don't think he's got it. And so far, we should cut our losses and go. And he might end up being like a Jay Schiltz that was at Richmond. They fire sailed him to us for Mitch Banner or something, or whoever it was. Mitch Farmer. I don't know, some bloke and pick 71, and Yeah, but that was the deal at the time, and I think they picked up Ben Nason with that pick, but we got the good end of that deal, and Butcher might need new scenery to get what he what's the real skill that he does have, because he's a great mark when he gets in the right position, and he competes.
His field kicking is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
But his ball drop's pretty shite. When it comes to the kick of a goal.
His work rate is great. His defensive pressure as a key forward is, I reckon, as good as anyone going around. If the ball, his ability to chase and harass and tackle, that's, to me, one of the trademarks of him. And, there's a lot that he brings to the table. And I think the way I see it is that you need to play to your strengths, given your list makeup. And one of our strengths is some of the freaks that we have in our forward line, like, you know, Wingard and Robbie Gray and whatnot. So if Butcher is just being competitive and bringing the ball to ground, then it allows those guys to do their work. And the thing is that so much of the time when we see us play poorly and lose, it's because we're kicking to one-on-twos and, you know, we're kicking to medium-sized players and they're just getting outmarked and, you know, a third man up and stuff like that. That's much less likely to happen with Butch as you fall forward. You know, he gives that focal point and that target and allows the other guys to get around him. So I really think that, you know, another, if you can show just a bit of form for the rest of the year, you have to leave him in now. If he shows a little bit of form, then you've got to keep him on the list another year for sure.
Do you reckon, like, if
how much do you think of it's
like a lack of ability from a goal kicking perspective, or do you think it's mainly,
it's not at all a lack of confidence? Like, no one, like, everyone's body is built the same way. It's like you don't have an inability to kick for goals. It's just whether you manage to hook it up or what. Like, Treaders was woeful. He got some coaching. I forget that dude's name, but he was kicking at 70% for the last few years of his career. So, I don't think you don't have an ability to kick for goals. I think it's just whether, I think so much of it with Butch is mental. Like, he just, you know, that goal he kicked looked so much different than the goal he missed. And I've got photos. I was at one of the family days, I think it was 2 years ago, and I got photos of him taking kicking probably the worst shot for goal I've ever seen. Like, it literally went about 20 metres and ended at 45 degrees. And the ball dropped, because I took it in, you know, motor drive, and you could actually see the way he dropped the ball, and it landed basically sideways on his boot. You know what I mean? Like, so much of it is in the ball drop, and that's not, you don't have, it's not like hard to drop a ball on your boot. It's just, you know, whether you manage to hook it up at the time or not. So, yeah, I don't know. I think he can make it. I doubt he'll make it, but I think he can make it.
What do you reckon as well? Do you reckon he's the type of player, if he has a breakout game, let's say for argument's sake, he kicked five straight against Hawthorn and just had a brilliant game, pulled in like 10 marks and just slammed it through. Do you reckon that would then have a bit of a run on for him, or, like, you know, he gets that confidence up and he starts, you know, kicking on a bit and becomes what he's supposed to become? Because it honestly looks like he talks him, like, mentally talks himself out of it sometimes when you see his, you know, his facial expressions and stuff when he's having a shot on goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, he's, like, mentally shot. He knows he's going to miss before he even kicks it. And so, therefore, and that's potentially it. He's probably, and I don't think the club would have left it this long without having him see a sports psychologist, I suppose, because, like, the club wants to support him as much as possible. But, because he does have those abilities. Like, he does, like, as Nick said, like, his pressure, the way he can bring it to ground for the crummers, etc. Like, he has those abilities that if the club could get him to kick straight and run to better locations, like, it would be, he'd be a great player. Like, that's the thing, is if he was smarter with the way he moves and tries to get to contests, because he does have such work rate, from what I understand, like, he will run himself out of position, and therefore he doesn't get the ball. So, like, because he's working the whole time, but he just doesn't know when to lead, re-lead from what people are saying that are at live at the game, and the people that I do get that information from, I do respect. So, and it just seems that he's always out of position when he's on the field. Like, you just don't see him. Whereas Schultze is a smart leader. He always gets into the right amount of space and gets himself to the contest. So
these people go and watch the Maggies play?
Yeah, they do.
Mm.
But if he can get it right, like, as in start being smarter with his leads and He can kick the ball straight, mate. He'd be in our team every week, and we wouldn't be having these conversations. If the club could see that he could lead to the right spots and get himself in a position to kick goals and kick the goals when he's in those positions, he'd be in the team every week. But like the coaches see that and they don't play him. Like, let's be honest. Like, they see him so much that if he was doing the right things and had that ability, he'd be playing every week, Nick.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. If
well, the coaches hate him.
What?
Are you saying the coaches just dislike him? Because no, they could, we could go three
words
prong.
In my mouth. I'm saying that if that, like, clearly Schultz is one of the most accurate key forwards in the game. So he's, you know, it's a positional thing, and they obviously, like, Kenny's philosophy is obviously being built on speed and stuff like that. And, like, you would see it hard to fit Schultz and Butcher in the side, and you'd pick Schultz every day of the week.
I think they both could play both together. I don't, like, if he was kicking goals and they were both able to, I think that they both could play, because I think that he could play that third tall, Butcher could play that third tall quite easily, because he can roam up the ground and come back. But
Alistair, are you doing the show from a factory?
No.
What's all that banging and whatnot going on?
Well, that might be Kate doing the dishes.
Yeah, that might be Kate doing the dishes.
Yes, that might be Kate doing the dishes. Let's ignore that. I don't really want to stop her, because if I stop her, it means I'm going to have to do it when I get off the show, which doesn't work for me.
We just had a tweet from Matty Sullivan saying, "Sounding good, lads. Ben, the rugby union kicking coach, helped Treadray.
That's the one.
Should do the same for Butcher." Yep. That's from Matt from the Maggies Hour. And we should ask Matt should let us know, as he does go down the Magpies. Is Butcher's leading shit?
Matt the magician was saying that that Port haven't given him a phone call. To the best of his knowledge.
Oh, Matt the magician, Mr. T.
Yeah. Matt was saying that Ben guy hasn't been given a call by the club, to the best of his knowledge. Mm.
That's interesting. That's disappointing if the club's not going, but they may have.
Oh, they've obviously got it's a multi-million-dollar business, as we know, or soon to be multi-billion-dollar business with this new TV rights deal, but. I'm sure they've got it sussed out, and there's a reason why they are or aren't doing what they're doing. But I read something interesting the other day, and I'm not weighing in on this because it's probably a bit controversial, and we're a precious society now. But someone posed an interesting question of what a bunch of hypocrites football followers and armchair observers are, where there's this massive media campaign about Adam Goods and the booing of Adam Goods, but the amount of crap that John Butcher has copped over his year and the psychological damage that's being done to that guy through his kicking action and whatnot, you know, how do they compare, and how can you, you know, support the cessation of one of those things but not the other? Do you know what I mean? I thought it was quite interesting the way it was worded. But,
that's a bloody good point, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can almost hear the collective sighs when he's
absolutely
having a shot on goal. And well, like that would mess with your head. Like, if he had any doubt, like, if he was going in there pretty confidently, and you just know for a fact everyone is sort of holding their breath, they'll kill you. Do you know, though, his AFL career, 35 goals, 14.
Yeah. 74 out on the falls, probably.
That's what I was about to say.
I think he kicked, like, it was something like 20 goals straight. He's like, could be pulling this figure out of nowhere, but I'm sure it was like 20 or 21 goals that he kicked without a behind, which is in like the top 10 consecutive goals without a official miss in the history of the AFL.
He's dead set. Like, I reckon if you surveyed, you know, 50,000 Port supporters, like every single one of them would say, you'd just love to see Butch have a long and fruitful career. Like, he's just such a nice bloke and just seems like a cracking fella, and all the lads love him. And I loved it when he kicked that goal, and just, like, I reckon the whole side just got around him, and, you know, that was awesome to see. You know, and that's what I loved that game on the weekend. Like, as I said, I was paro. But
yes, you were, Nick. I've got text messages that reflect that quite clearly.
Yeah, as do I.
Did you, Al?
Yes, I did get them.
I don't actually remember getting home, so that's how smashed I was.
How did you get the tickets for that?
Marchie had them.
I've seen Marchie once or twice. I don't know if I'd... Oh, I think I've recognized
him. Oh, he's not going to give you one. He barely won the field. And I saw some of our mutual mates on the way home, and they messaged me this, like, the next day, and I don't even remember seeing them, but... anyway, that's an aside from what I was going to say. That game was just awesome. Like, I love the atmosphere. It was just so cool. So, but Port were flying the flag for a change. Like, all the scuffles that you saw broke out, all the players that were helping one another, you know, the camaraderie of everyone going to Butch when he took that first mark, and everyone going to him when he kicked that goal. As I was saying to Marshy, that's the sort of stuff that we've missed this year, that just that team, like that, you know, that you can just tell we looked like a team. Like, even if we lost, I sort of would have thought it was just, it just looked better. Like, it was more aggressive. We attacked the corridor more. We, you know, we stood up for one another, and it was just, it was really just what I wanted to see. And it was a really enjoyable game, I thought.
Yeah, Jacko's come out and said he reckons that that's one of the big things that's going to turn them around.
Yeah,
as well is just, you know, being a bit more aggressive, and it's something that, that hasn't happened this season. And look, we've struggled. So no,
yeah, and that was so apparent, wasn't it? Like, you know, when you compare sort of the last two seasons to this season, when we've said it a bunch of times, you know, players get decked, and Bryce squibs his little effort, and Trengove, when he was injured, getting bumped over, and just no one remonstrating. And that was just appalling. And if I was playing Hills League and that happened, I'd be like, nah, I'm looking for another club. These blokes are taking the piss. But so it's good to see a bit of that come back. And I thought, yeah, it was a great game to watch.
How much did you love when Trengove was punching into Lob's leg? Like,
yeah,
Lob's sitting there.
I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
Basically, he's come in, he's got a corky, and like Trengove's just like punching him in the leg. It was awesome.
And, fair game, I reckon. Take
yeah,
field.
Well, that's right.
You know, and the AFL only, you know, in their, you know, you can't understand the MRP decisions. But for them to get $1,000 fine, I thought that was pretty much worst case scenario. So I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, how was that, Reece Palmer's? Besides, was that like one of the
Broadbent
greatest stuff ups
yeah,
in the history of football? That was awesome.
That was so
just
cool.
The laughter across the stadium was priceless. That was
probably
gold.
Fair to say he made up for it.
Yeah, but.
Would he kick
at
five or six
time,
goals?
He kicked five, yeah.
Who was standing him most of the day?
Broadbent. He got a bath. Now, Broadbent played so woo.
So my in the gun player has gone from Hartlett to Broadbent, I reckon. Jasper Pittard and Cam O'Shea escaped scrutiny again.
Oh, no, Jasper Pittard needs to be in it. My God, that guy just puts himself in positions. He just keeps on trying too hard.
That's what I need to say about you.
That's it, man. Like he's another bloke. The amount of crap Pittard cops is just ridiculous.
I love the guy. I reckon
so
that's great.
So do I. It's just, it's you know, yeah, he'll stuff up every now and then, and it will cost us a goal, but at least he's got the balls to take the game on.
And when you're at the game, you start to notice, well, hold on, the reason he did that stupid thing is because everyone's just standing there waiting for him to do something. No one's running for him or, you know, making an option. So he's got to try and dodge or weave or whatever. Inevitably slips over and does something ridiculous. But
look, and sometimes
the blame so he won't take the first five options. Yeah, it's like he has to have six or seven. He has to pass the first five or six different options before he'll make a decision on who he actually gives the ball to. He's had six opportunities to get rid of the ball, and then he gets tackled holding the ball. What the hell?
Yeah, you say that. So that's maybe one incident out of 20 disposals. This guy, he just cops, like he can do one stuff up and have 25 touches and dominate, and these idiot supporters, no offense out, like yourself, just bag the crap out of him. It does my head in. Like, his upside is so much better than like 90% of the players on our list, I reckon. He's awesome. I'd be shattered if we lost Pittard.
Well, we lose Pittard.
I don't, because of people like Al, who just criticise him. It would hurt his feelings too.
He's not going anywhere. He loves the club.
Well, you'll have to ask him when we're in Queensland, because his player sponsor, Rick, will also be in Queensland, and we might go to the after the game function, and Rick might have to introduce you, and you can say that Al calls you Shittard.
Yeah, I probably won't say that.
That's as bad as it gets. Not only do you not go to games, you know, barely provide a financial contribution, then you slander our own players, mate.
I just get so frustrated.
Pros trolls.
No.
Hey, so has anyone answered the question out? Who had the most disposals in 2001?
No, but I'll give him a hint.
He was on the Port Adelaide list in 2001. And he was a midfielder.
That narrows it down to 40-something, doesn't it?
40 midfielders, right.
No, well, he said midfielder after I started saying it.
Okay, and, he likes small spaces.
Oh, I thought it was going to be that dude.
Small spaces? What?
I was just about to say, I hope it's not him.
Well, that's all right.
Talking about stuff like that, Fabian Francis.
Got no idea what's going on.
My mate reckons he saw him at the game. I thought the guy was in jail still.
Got no idea. He may be. Not really sure.
Nick Stevens.
No, we're not talking about Nick Stevens. If anyone was to tweet in Nick Stevens, and they would.
Thanks, Fox. You're a clown.
Why is that?
The quiz?
I had no idea, man.
Yep,
what do you mean small spaces? What's that got to do with
jail?
Jail.
Jail.
Oh, getcha now, right. Oh,
there you go. Sean's just...
Sean wants to meet Pittard.
I'll get my jersey signed. Because Sean, my mate that I go to the footy with, he's got the number 29. And that guy will get fired up if anyone bags Pittard. We almost got in a bit of a fight at the Port Hawthorn prelim when I yelled out some
obscenities about Pittard. The
thing that Pittard did.
So basically, Sean would think Alistair's a bit of a knob.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And that's before he starts speaking about Pittard, I'd say too.
Is someone going to? Someone. All that we need is someone to tweet in a name of a Judas type Port Adelaide player who's in jail, and they get a $20 voucher.
Like Nick Stevens.
Yes. If I don't know Nick, why don't you tweet that in to Port Fam Radio?
No, I can't take from our 2 or 3 listeners. That would be like taking food out of their mouth.
We've got 3 confirmed listeners tonight, so that's all right.
Have we had any more tweets?
Yeah, just Sean.
Did you do a little bit of an English accent there, Nick, or was that just me?
No, it was just you, I think.
Okay, I should have another beer then.
That's all right. And anything else that you thought was really good from the weekend's game?
We won.
I thought Impey played a great game. I love watching that guy. He's got something special. I love our Indigenous players. How awesome are they? Like Wingard.
Yeah, he's got some flair.
He's probably my second favourite player. Impey will be a 200-game player. The crack is just awesome. The arch, play it was best on ground. And I'm not as big a fan, but he's still exciting in Jake Neave. Like, there's some highlights amongst those players, isn't there?
Yeah, there is definitely.
I love Archie's game, man. Archie's game just got me. I was on such a high after that.
I thought you couldn't remember anything after the game.
I remember being excited about thinking about Archie's game. I watched that GIF image of those handballs like 200 times, I reckon.
Should we talk about the 2001 season, considering we're like 35 minutes into the show and we haven't even touched on it? We've done two rounds.
Well, we've got.
Shouldn't you be bloody?
We should
lead the way here and direct the show.
Do people actually care about our,
Our history? Well,
reviewing of the history.
Do you know what I think's awesome? We're guaranteed that we've got a few listeners because there's been a few tweets through. We've pretty much given away the answer, but people hate Nick Stevens that much they don't even want to tweet his name.
That's probably fair. He's a Judas some bitch.
That was Alistair Carlton making that statement.
Yeah. Yeah. So Al said that. He's also called Pittard a bad name. He said effing earlier in the show. He's on fire, isn't he?
Maybe that's on the back of Phil's sexist joke last week. Are you going to do racist jokes for this week, Phil or Al? I'm keeping my nose absolutely clean.
What about the joke that I told you guys before?
No.
Oh, mate.
If you want to be hated by everyone, you can say it. If you want to be hated by everyone, if you want...
No, don't even.
Can I say it or not?
No.
Nah, no.
I will hang up if you say that joke and I will not return for 2 weeks.
It is... You've got to look, though, for a joke that I had made up myself that was pretty intelligent.
It's inventive, for sure, but it alienates basically every Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was pretty proud of it. Would you be proud if you thought of it?
I'd be embarrassed.
Well, that's why I held it for a fair while. And I
it has two sides of the coin. You'd be proud that, I guess, your mental faculties allow you to come up with something like that, and that's what separates you from like a sheep or a donkey or something. But on the flip side, I'd be very concerned about what's in my subconscious if stuff like that is coming up.
Well, the only person I told the joke to for probably good 3 or 4 months was my wife, and she looked at me and said, "No, you don't say that to anyone."
What about shrink? What did he say?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Our friend Bevan has tweeted in, and he said, "Carlton and Glenelg prick."
Yeah, I think that's the winner then.
Yeah. Bevan.
How many, just quietly, do we need to rein in Bevan with his... He'd have to have about 6 vouchers by now, wouldn't he?
He spent them. He could take us all...
He could take us all for a lobster lunch down the club.
That's right. If you've enjoyed our show so much, Bevan, which obviously you have, maybe lunch needs to be on you next time. Bring in your 4 or 5 Port Fan Radio vouchers.
Or 10, depending. But, 2001, round 3. We're only going to do 2 rounds tonight, guys. We're going to do rounds 3 and 4. Round 3 was the showdown.
Is that because you did no preparation this week?
That may be the case. I've just been quite flat out with other stuff, like work.
It's just disappointing because Nick and I take...
You knocked off I work with you and you're knocked off about 3 o'clock today. What are you talking about? That's not busy. You're a public servant, mate.
It's just like Nick. We have our meetings every week, me and you, don't we?
Yeah.
Show what we're going to discuss.
Yeah.
You know, we always invite Al. He never rocks up. Yeah. I reckon we spend Nick and I spend a solid 12 hours a week on research, I reckon.
Then we do a strategic meeting.
Yep.
And okay. Then
you send me a text saying that I haven't even done any prep this week. And it's like, well, we're getting used to it. And it's pretty disappointing. But anyway, on to
round three. Okay, round 3. I'm not going to say a word. And because Nick is the leader, I think we should leave it to Nick to go through round 3 of 2001. It's actually the first year that Nick and I started going to the footy. So, Nick, do you want to... It was the first time that Nick ever went to the footy, other than when he was going to watch Carlton games. But, Nick, so how's round 3 going, my friend?
I don't know. I deleted all your emails.
Right. So, round 3 then. So Nick proves that he does squat. So round three, we're playing the Crows at Footy Park. We basically hit the ground running and we're up by 20 points at quarter time. And then it stayed pretty much on par. We were 18 points up at halftime. Then we really took away with it in the third quarter and we're up by 43 at three-quarter time and 65
took away with it. Good English, or is that just me?
Took away with it. No, it's not.
Took away with it.
We pushed away. We went on with the job.
No,
and
we definitely took away with it.
All right, no worries.
So what happened after we took away with it, Al?
Well, we won 23 goals, 15, 153. So 23 goals is pretty impressive. And to 13 goals, 10, 88. So best. Yeah, we did get the chocolates. Had a couple of frothies.
How's our little man Gavin Wanganeen in that game? Casual six goals.
Six goals, two. 18 touches, but the extractor, like the clearance machine, which was Josh Franco, had 31 touches with a best on ground performance. So, yeah. And then another high half forward that played really well was the Cocky, Shea Cockatoo Collins, with 14 touches and a goal, but the pressure acts that he had were pretty immense. So, yeah, he was on the money that day.
He was a
good buddy,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
We got a tweet in from someone.
Oh, really? Was it Lauren? Is it our friend Lauren?
Have a look, guys.
Oh, it's from like this hot chick with some ugly looking bloke.
Your what?
The bloke she's with is the lead singer of 6 AM Man.
Is what?
Some ugly looking bloke.
So it's my wife who sent her first ever tweet. Oh. It was one time that she, it looks like her Twitter was hacked, where she wrote, "Look what happened" in Scribble Knots remix. There's a picture of a dragon and a. So yeah, my wife said Nick Stevens. No, my wife.
No, Bevan has already said the Carlton and Glenel prick, and we gave
him. Sorry, Kate. But
you missed
late.
Out.
Well, you sent your SMS to her too late, Phil.
She's sitting here staring at me. It's because I'm hot.
I thought she'd be still doing the dishes.
No, she's finished the dishes.
Has she made the tea yet?
Yeah, she made me dinner earlier. So she's... I'm coming across as a bit sexist right now.
She done for the night then, Phil?
No, still some other things she'll do later.
Fantastic. But after round three, we were sixth on the AFL Premiership ladder. So going into round four, we were playing the St Kilda Football Club at Football Park. It actually was the debut game for a little-known bloke, or very diminutive, known as Stephen Milne. He debuted against Port Adelaide, and he actually was probably best on ground for St Kilda that day. So, yeah, we ended up, did end up getting the chocolates for the game.
Don't now.
You love the chocolates.
Seriously, man. That's just, nah, don't.
Really? You don't like the chocolates?
I don't think anyone does. You sound like bloody Andrew Jarman.
Oh.
What was that?
I don't know. Someone, one of you guys didn't put their phone on silent, which is awkward.
Yeah, that may have been good old Nick.
No, it wasn't me. No. Guarantee. I bet my, you know what, that it wasn't me. That was. This one wasn't.
Anyway, so back on track. So, yeah, Stephen Milne had his debut, and Port Adelaide dominated, mate. A 10-goal win, 64 points. So that was a nice one. Now, probably one of our favourite players got three Brownlow votes in Nick Stevens.
Yep.
Good.
How many D. Smith get?
We should, we're going to have a Darren Smith show one day.
Hey, so you want to bring Billy Frampton on because apparently he's the second coming of Darren Smith.
I like that guy's style, just quietly.
Would he even know who Darren Smith is?
Nah.
You'd see him on the locker if you walk past Schultz's locker.
No, he's Gen Y. He wouldn't even give it a second thought.
Yeah, but yeah, with that win, we were fourth in the ladder after round four, and Stewie Jew actually got 22 touches, four goals too, with those blonde tips that he was sporting back then.
Overrated. Running.
And so you remember Stewie Jew's hairstyle in 2001?
Yeah, I was actually watching some highlights of the Hawthorn game last night. The round 10 game against Hawthorn, and
it was quite funny to see Stewart Jew, didn't you?
Oh, mate, he's got that leg of his was just the best. It didn't matter either leg, but his left, he was the best kick that was at the club at that time. And unfortunately, he just didn't get enough of the ball. But when he did get it, he used it impeccably.
Did he have a better leg than Josh Marnie?
Oh, don't give me some. Apparently, Josh Marnie, for all our listeners, in 2004 was it 2005? Yes, it made this.
2004, I would have said it.
Basically, that Josh Marnie had the best disposal at the club.
And I think I said amongst the best disposal, foot disposal.
And I think, was it that you also wanted to trade Chad Corns at that time? Probably. One of these said, "No, I want to trade Chad Corns. He's worthless."
And I think I said Fred Ray wouldn't make it at one point as well.
I said Brett Ebert would win a Brownlow.
That's terrible. How you could have got that?
It was called drunk, and there was a few games where he had bugger all time on the ground and had a lot of disposals, and I was excited.
Well, he did win the 2003 McGarry, so.
So yeah,
he was a talent, but he got
he put did as the, a forward the, pocket. The kick on the weekend, which you wouldn't have seen now because you weren't there.
Did he
before the game?
Oh, that's a Port Adelaide legend. Well, it probably would have been more fitting for his father, wouldn't it? Seeing as though his father got unveiled. Or,
what do you think of that statue?
I've seen it live. Big eyebrows.
Yeah, the face was a bit awkward, I thought. The body was probably alright.
So you like his body, Nick?
Well, for a bronze statue, I thought it replicated his body fairly well, but the face sort of looked a bit ape-like.
Urinated next to Russell Ebert at Albert and Oval once, I did.
Excellent.
That's right. That's nearly as good as I was in a taxi with Simon Pedler.
No, seriously. I think this was years ago.
Yeah.
I had to have a look.
And had that work out.
It is all right.
One thing our listeners should know about Phil is that he's, how would you say,
blessed.
He's blessed, and that's been validated from various sources, including Alistair.
That's all right. Let's
keep talking about that. Let's continue.
Didn't one partner call you Nokia because of your resemblance to the thickness of the 5110?
Oh, I don't, Nick. Stop this conversation right now.
For a bit longer.
But is that also, Tread Ray actually played pretty well in that. Yeah, Tread Ray played pretty well with 13 marks, and Corns didn't do much. He was a bit lackadaisical for the game, so he didn't really give too much. And Montgomery played a blinder. Because the first month or the first 3 weeks of the season, he was playing pretty average and really wasn't up to his BNF form that he had from the previous season. So it was good to see it. So average, Franco was pretty woo that day, and like basically burnt the ball, was kicking it to the opposition quite regularly. It was a pretty bad game from Chad Corns, and people were actually looking for him to get dropped for Bowen Lockwood.
Man, if Bowen Lockwood never played 10 years, that guy could play, couldn't he?
If he didn't have a bad back, like if he was able to manage and they understood injuries like they do now, he could have been something. Like a Treadray Bowen Lockwood combination would have been something to behold, I'd reckon. Because that first season. Would have
been like a Darren Smith, Scott Hodges kind of thing.
Yeah, potentially. But that first season, basically, Treadray hardly played because Bowen Lockwood was playing. So he was keeping him out of the game most of the season. So, yeah, still unfortunate that Bowen wasn't able to get there. So, yes. But
I reckon we should just go back to the story about me being hung.
No, thanks.
The listener's got the idea there.
Yeah.
So, what do we all think about James Heard?
I'm surprised he resigned. And I'm doing those little inverted commas with my fingers right now, which you can't see. But his reputation, he's gone. Like, his reputation is shot. It's a pretty, pretty decent fall from grace.
He's an average human, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Well, yeah, but the thing is that it should have happened 2 years ago. Like, no matter what people say, that should have happened 2 years ago. And, like, I don't see the sense in what they've done. They've done it now. Like it should have been, done 2 years ago. And who's going to actually want to take that job? Like, honestly, like, you don't know what's going to happen with the playing list. I think that they're going to need to get a seasoned AFL person into that role that can actually handle the pressure which is going to be put to them. And if you're going to take a junior coach, you've got to give him at least 5 years and, like, basically have no expectations for the next two. Because, like, with this whole Asada thing, it could drag on for another 2 years or wider. I just don't understand why they would do it now when basically nobody wants the gig. No one will want that gig.
Get rid of him a couple of years ago, but there were threats of legal action from him.
Apparently, but...
he's just a noodle. I can't stand him. Like, I look at the bloke now and just... You want to punch him.
How's his comments after the Port game about
Ryder? Yeah, the Ryder thing. He's just such a smug tosspot. And, like, you know, his missus going in the media and fighting his battles. Surprised his mummy hasn't gone to the media and spoken about him. It's like, I don't like him at all. I'd prefer Mick Malthouse with his uneven moustache than James Heard.
Oh, any day of the week. Times 1,000.
But did you hear what he said in his press? Oh, I think I'm a good coach. No, you're not, mate. You're not at all. Because you
put those players in that position.
Yeah, you've put your players in a position where their careers... And bottom line is, he stuffed up careers during that. Because irrespective of whether they get found innocent, guilty, if they get, 2 weeks off, the amount of pressure that they've been under over a lengthy period of time...
It's on him. Almost inhumane, isn't it, what they've been through, those guys? It is on him. Yeah.
I hate him.
Hate's a strong word, but I'm definitely not a fan either. I look at the guy and I just think, mate... Some disgraceful form in the last few years, for sure.
And I don't even know one Essendon fan that defends him now. Which is disappointing because he was a champion of the club.
Well, honestly,
there's 4 Essendon fans, like one-eyed Essendon fans, that wanted him gone.
Is it just me or has his head actually physically gotten bigger lately? You look at him, he's got a massive head.
I think his ears got pinned back and now you can realise that it's... It's a little larger than normal because you used to just worry about his ears. No, I don't know. I don't know. The wing nut. But yeah, I think it's good for football that he's left. Hopefully it gives them a bit of a breather, as in the Essendon Football Club and the players, more the players than anybody else.
The players' welfare, you know, is a very sad thing. But the club, if it folded, I couldn't give a toss. I really couldn't.
Yeah.
Don't care. I don't care about any other club apart from Port Adelaide.
You hear?
And
honestly,
okay.
If Collingwood folded, I'd be like, wow, that was pretty amazing. But couldn't care less. I'd be like, right, there's an end to where our prison bars whenever we want. Could not care less.
So what do you reckon about the $2.5 billion of the broadcast deals? That came out of left field. I wasn't expecting that for another 12 months.
Haven't seen it. Don't know much about it. But if it's worth that much money, I reckon it will only end up being bad for free-to-air listeners, watchers.
It's
my uneducated guess.
Yeah,
but $2.5 billion, the players are going to be wanting a bit of a pay rise.
They always do.
But I suppose...
I'll be honest, man. I've got my Fox footy this year. I've said it before, but because we've been doing so terribly, I'm going to the games every week that we're playing at home and, watching every Port game. Besides that, I've not turned on AFL 360 once this year because it depresses me. I just want to be happy when I watch it. I want them to do those montages where it's like...
Last year.
With the cool music in the background and then we just go and kick 20 goals in a row and everyone loves us. So that's what I want again. And my Fox footy's going to be... I don't really care because I go to the games here and then the ones that are playing right away. So,
no, that's fair enough. And what do you think about Dangerfield, that they've gone out and said that he's signed a 5-year deal with Geelong and then now he's refused to go on the media? Like, he's got his 150th game. And, like, you're supposed to be asked a number of questions, and, like, halfway through, just, done. So...
Well, I didn't hear anything, but apparently he's on 5AA this morning, and he said that it's a load of bollocks about the... I've just seen, like, a thing on Twitter. I haven't listened to it, but they asked him about the 5-year deal, and he said, crap. I hate that. I don't like a lot of people apparently, but he's I reckon that remember Lauren who listened to us on one show who we mention every week, but she did that tweet where she said that he just loves the attention. I flat out reckon that if I could have favourited that tweet like more than once, I would have, because I dead set reckon he's just he laps it up. He loves it. He loves seeing himself in the paper. He's a smug tosspot as well, just like James Heard without the drugs.
You don't like many people, do you, Phil?
I actually don't. So, yeah.
Why is that?
I'm a negative person.
Is that,
no, I don't.
Is I that like because you're just basically like a night filler and you're nearly 40?
Hey, come on, man. So he's saying this because I've left a job that I wasn't really enjoying for a new job, which
is what is the new job doing?
Management. It's management.
What do you have to do as part of the day-to-day duty?
Manage staff.
What else?
Just manage them.
Do you have any more operational duties that you have to
do? It's a very different role to what I'm used to.
It's not high profile, is it, to be fair?
The money's good.
So what are you doing?
What am I doing?
Want to know now.
No, they don't want to know. I'm going to Queensland for 8 weeks paid. That's what I'm doing.
To watch the Gold Coast and Port Adelaide play at Metricon.
But what are you going to do when you're back and you're working?
Manage staff.
Tell us what else you'd be doing there, like what other things?
I'd be helping them out with the roles that they're doing.
What does that involve?
Do you know it's actually funny you say this, because we were told in training that we're this particular company that I'll be working for are very anti-social media and discussing things and yada yada. So I can't even say.
people might think I'm a spy. I might be. I can't say anything.
Right. No, that's right. Hey, just late breaking news. Chris Mastin has been found guilty for biting. 2 weeks for biting Nick Subin.
2 weeks for biting.
I know. It should be like the book. 10 weeks. That's just the dog act. It's up there with spitting.
My son just turned 2 last week. Appreciate the cards that you sent for him, Al and Nick.
No problems. You should thank Anita.
And if he bit someone right now, he'd be in a bit of trouble. Like if you're an adult biting someone, that's just right.
So
awkward silence.
Yes. No, it is, but that's probably all the AFL news for the moment. I just think it's a dog act. What do you think, Fox?
Yeah, it's poor form.
I'm surprised none of us are pro-biting.
Yes, well, biting's not cool.
And do you know whenever we have an awkward silence, whenever you come back out, you're always like, yes, yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm just agreeing. There's not much more to say, really. Like, it's a dog act, and 2 weeks, in my opinion, is not long enough. But it'll be interesting to see. But just for all our listeners out there, the next 2 weeks, the 1870 hours taking a bit of a hiatus. A couple of us will be interstate and therefore not available to do the show. So in 2 weeks, we will return and continue to...
The next 2 weeks I'm available, although I'm interstate, but I'm not available the next 2 weeks. So you're not going to hear my velvet-like beautiful voice for 4 weeks.
4 weeks. We'll get the March dog in to continue the 1870 hour after that point, but it shall be good, and we shall return bigger and better than ever. Yeah, we appreciate you listening. If you've got any feedback, drop us a mail on Twitter or the Facebook. Tomorrow, the Facebook.
Have we ever had any feedback?
Yeah, we've had. Best show on Port Fen Radio and such. Yeah, we have.
Wasn't that again?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it might have been.
I think it was.
Mr. Andrew Bevan is a big fan of the boys.
Yeah.
But,
No, in fairness, nah. Bevan gets behind all the shows. Bevan's awesome. So yep. I don't think he's exclusive. He thinks we're cool. He gets behind all of these shows. Anyway, yeah. So we're going to smash Hawthorn this week, so that would be good.
Yeah, Friday night should be good.
Friday night, yep, that's going to be awesome.
Can't wait. A
few quiet if beers after work.
Premiership favourites next year.
Mm.
That works.
If we win out,
I'm going to be frustrated.
Oh no, actually, no. You do, you can pay me back those beers you owe me.
2
in Queensland.
Yeah, no worries. I'll pay you 4x gold.
I said beer.
Yeah, that's right. And now tomorrow night, boys, Harold and Matt will be discussing the Glenelg game on the Maggies Hour. The 1-point victory, that was actually good to watch. I got to watch the live stream on Friday night to see Lobie get 64 touch hitouts. Probably 32 of them were to Glenelg players, but he still got 64 hitouts. So that was it was a pretty good game to watch, and they'll give you all the details. And yeah, should be good listening. So they're on from 8 o'clock tomorrow night on Port Fan Radio at 8 o'clock Port Adelaide time. And then on Thursday night we've got the preview of the Hawthorn game with Macca and Portia and whoever the special guest is this week, and should be good.
Cool.
Word.
Thanks for listening.
Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
See ya.